Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, April the 26th, 2024, 16 minutes past the hour. Last Friday in the month of April, joined in studio by Jessica Hauser and Matt Morgan. Interesting conversations during the break there. You know, that was fascinating.
Jessica
told you told a nice little story there. I thought it was fascinating. It was an interesting little tutorial into your past dating life.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The things we'll put up with and the things we won't put up with. Now, this is an interesting, since we actually have not done really any topics, we'll try to get to a couple this hour, but I like this one. Here it is. But you've got to listen closely to this or you'll get confused. Okay. A woman wrote in to Dear Prudence saying her boyfriend is not in love with her. They say I love you to each other every night, but she asked him if he was in love with her. He said he thinks being in love is just the butterflies at the beginning of a relationship. Does that mean anything? And it doesn't. He said it doesn't really mean anything. Should she be worried? She feels worried because that was his take on the thing.
Is she worried because of this situation?
Because he says he's not in love with her.
Okay, so that is the whole reason why. Okay.
Yeah, it's the wording.
I mean, I think that it's fine. I think that she's overreacting here. I think.
Now, do you ever put yourself in somebody else's shoes? See, that's the a lot of this is what would she would that bother her?
I mean,
clearly it does.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that it does.
But do you understand why it bothers her?
I mean, to some extent, yes, because it seems to me that she still thinks that she is in love with this guy, but this guy is like, those are just the butterflies. Like, that's the puppy dog love at the beginning of the relationship.
But, he says he loves her all the time.
Well, I'd assume he loves her.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
I don't think they're, I think...
This is where...
That's the thing. I think that maybe they should, I don't know. I think that maybe...
Well, he explains the difference. He says in love is butterflies at the beginning. Doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
So shouldn't be worried.
I agree. Shouldn't be worried.
No, you think? No, I don't agree. That's not my opinion.
Oh,
I'm just saying. What do you think?
Yes, shouldn't be worried. I think that is fine. I think that this man's looking at it logically, and she's got to use the terminology.
Put
it in a specific way.
I don't know. What do you think, Jess?
He said it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, he said it doesn't mean anything. He says it's just the butterflies at the beginning of a relationship, and it really doesn't mean anything.
Then I'm not sure if she's worried, it'd be like, what are you worried about? Then, if she wants him to have the butterflies again and that in love you feeling, and like she wants him to have that all the time, then she probably needs to figure out how to maybe bring that back into their relationship if it's important to her. By him saying it doesn't mean anything, then that's not really important to him. He's great with how things are, so maybe she shouldn't be worried about him like leaving or anything, but I've seen relationships where the people are very in love like for a very long time. And
How do you bring that back?
How do you bring it
back? Yeah, when it's gone, how do you bring it back?
I have never been successful at that, so I don't
know.
But you've
tried.
I cannot answer that.
You've tried. You've realized that the butterfly thing is gone, so you've tried to bring it back.
I guess, but I've like it just doesn't work.
Right. So I don't know how you bring something back that's no longer there.
Yeah.
Because emotions are irrational.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how you could do it.
Well, I wonder if she feels this way about him.
I think so, because I think she would not ask the question if she was not in love with him by her. But I don't think she probably thinks, I don't think that's her definition of in love, the butterfly thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the difference.
I think that they both love each other to the same extent, or at the very least, close to the same extent. I think that there's just, like some kind of miscommunication going on here, because, you know, I like you had said, I think that they probably just have like different definitions of in love. So I think that they're you know, like I said, I think they love each other to roughly the same extent. I just think that he doesn't understand the question, or, you know, right. Vice versa.
He's like, okay, butterflies. Well, you know, I don't have the butterflies in my stomach anymore, but I have no desire to, you know, have the butterflies anymore. I'm fine.
But butterflies, but I mean, let's be realistic here. Butterflies don't last forever with anybody.
They don't, but that's where, you know, some people really enjoy the butterflies. They enjoy the, you know, the initial part of the relationships, and that's where you get to where people have multiple relationships with multiple people throughout their life, because they just like the newness of relationships. The relationship goes sour, and yeah.
But does it really go sour, or do the butterflies just go away?
Fake personality very long either, right?
But see, isn't that the fake personality? The butterfly feeling, we talked about it earlier, isn't that fake? I mean, you're feeling something that's irrational, and I think that because of it, you tend to be nicer to that person because you want them to be around. Well, when that's gone, you know, you really don't have to support that anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think that the butterflies are... Let me start over. I think that people, or that some people, the people who are like, I guess, serial daters, that's the term.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that term.
More than three.
So when people who are more serial daters, I think that the people who are serial daters think that, like, you know, the honeymoon phase there, like the, you know, the very beginning of the relationship, that kind of feeling you have is supposed to be how it feels throughout the entire relationship, but it never will. So I think that they're just chasing something that's never going to happen. I mean, I guess it could happen in theory. Everything's possible, but it's highly unlikely.
Or they're just realistic with themselves, knowing that we know it's not going to happen down the road. So, you know, time to bail. they probably almost have it, like, timed out perfect. Like, okay, month number five days in, we're about to, you know, unload.
6.5 months, and it's on to the next one.
Later.
Yeah, but what is the number one thing you look for in a relationship?
I mean, I got to think the person's interesting. I got to be able to talk to that person. Got to be able
That's
to.
Number one.
Yes.
Should be.
Well, okay, that's fine. Now, that's the answer we all give when we want to be, you know, really delightful people and sound great. But that's not the real answer that people use, because I see people together and I know they have nothing to talk about. Clearly, those people have nothing in common. They have nothing to talk about. That's not what you're looking for.
And they're not going to last.
Of course they're not going to last. If it were true and we did look for somebody we could talk to, we did look for somebody we had things in common with, then everything would be candy canes and gumdrops, and we'd all live happily ever after. But that's not what happens.
I mean, I think friends have disagreements, so I could disagree. I'd say that's not true to at least some extent.
What?
I said friends have disagreements, uh-huh. So I'd say that's not true to some extent. The whole that if you found somebody who, you know, like you had. You know,
I'm talking about somebody you can't talk to. Hopefully you can talk to your friend, or why else are they your friend?
Well, I mean, I would hope you could talk to your significant other. Why are they
No. Completely. Why? I don't want to have to explain that to you.
I don't see my friends every day.
It's that whole butterfly effect.
At some point down the road, I might possibly have to live with this person, and now I gotta, you know, talk to them every day of my life. I would think that I'd hope to have some interesting conversation.
You'd like to believe that, but what do people say when they see people together? They go, boy, you two really look like you two could have some interesting conversation together. They don't say that. Nobody says that. That's not the compliment they give. Wow, I bet there's some real interesting conversation going on between those two. No. That's not what it is. What do you think? What's the most important trait in a relationship with you?
I should have been thinking about this while you
I know. Answering. It was one of those roundabout questions.
I don't know. I don't have a checklist.
Well, not a checklist, but what's important?
Mine's connection. I mean, just connection on a general level. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, it could be physical. It can be, you know, communicating. It can be, you know, how we experience similar things. But there's a connection that happens. And, you know, when that connection does happen and it's right on every level, then, you know, then I roll with it.
But how do you know it's right?
It feels right.
Feels right. But then down the road, it could feel wrong.
It does.
It does.
Obviously. Yeah. I haven't found Mr. Right yet. So.
Everything has a beginning and an end. But now, have you ever called something off and the person doesn't want to go? They're not ready for it to end.
Yes.
And so how do you treat that situation?
I'm horrible.
You're rude to them.
No, I'm not rude.
Okay, what do you do that's horrible?
I just disappear.
Oh, you ghost them.
I just do.
Oh, okay.
Ghosting is efficient. I like ghosting.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
It's horrible, though.
Is it?
It is. It's a horrible thing of me to do, and I've grown up a lot since.
Well, ghosting people is easiest for you, but it's usually the roughest option for the other person. Because there's no explanation, no nothing, no hint of anything, and all of a sudden you're just gone. No responses.
It's never horrible.
Oh, so you don't even tell them it's over.
I do that.
Oh, okay. Well, then they know.
That's not ghosting.
Yeah, but I don't hang around to talk about it.
What is to talk about when it's over? Can you be friends? Can you be friends?
A lot of times.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
Yeah, I could do the ghosting for a little while, and then we do revolve back into friends.
Okay, now here's the big question, though. Let's say you date somebody or whatever. You have that period. You have the ghosting, but then it all comes around, and you become friends with them again, and then you start dating somebody else. Now they're your friend. They didn't want the thing to end to begin with. Is that a problem?
No, because usually when I start dating somebody else, then I ghost them again as a friend.
So all the old relationships go by the wayside again.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if that's healthy.
It's not usually not healthy on a current relationship if you're friends with your exes.
Now,
I found that to not be very good.
You know what? I have a problem with that. That's a very interesting thing. Why is that?
You know, I have no idea. I was in a relationship where I thought maybe the friendships with everyone and, you know, the kosher, it was super kosher until, you know, and super in love still with this guy until he got really upset with me because I had these friendships and, you know.
I would say you were in love with the guy.
Yeah.
And because you had friendships.
But then, like, you know how weird it is being in love with somebody, like, so much and being accused of cheating on them?
Oh, they accused you?
You know, yeah, like with friends that are guys and stuff, you know. Very interesting.
Well, what were you doing with these guys that gave the hint that you were cheating? Just, you were around them? You talked to them? What was the thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was probably, you know, like, I went out to lunch with one of them.
Oh, and that's bad.
Yeah, it was not good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I would think just the opposite, because I would think if you're going to go out to lunch with somebody like that and do it in public, that clearly you're not trying to hide. I think if you're going to have an affair with them, you're probably trying to hide it.
Right.
I think that in most cases, an ex is an ex for a reason. So I think that if you were dating somebody who's friends with their ex, I think that you'd have to recognize that they're already broken up.
I know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. Mm-hmm. What happened then? You were in love with this person, they accused you, got nasty about the whole thing, and then you just fell out of love, huh?
Yeah, you know, that it was never really recovered from. That's for sure.
So how long did it take to cut that thing off?
I never cut it. I didn't cut that one off.
Oh, it's still going?
No, I didn't cut it off.
Oh, you didn't cut it off. They cut it off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they thought you were doing things.
I don't know. I just don't, you know.
It just didn't end well.
Yeah.
Didn't end well. Well, that's terrible, though. I think suspicion's a horrible thing to have. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Is that jealousy? Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Must be.
Yeah.
How long until he broke up with you when he had started accusing you of cheating? So, like, what, when he started accusing you of cheating to the end, like, how long was that time period there?
It was a couple on and offs.
I don't know.
Before the permanent one,
I had just kind of thought, because some people for some reason tend to, They'll just like, I don't want to, they'll just like, you know, try to like beat you down almost when you're in a relationship that they don't want to be in anymore. Because
I know.
Because they'll be like, constantly, I don't want to, like, I'm not going to break it off here. Yeah. They're going to break it off. So I'm just going to be super mean to them.
Until she does. Until she ends it. Don't want to be the bad guy. Oh yeah. That totally happened too. Like constant picking on everything I did.
Well, maybe he didn't want to be there.
Well, you see, but that's why I was confused when she said a couple on and off. Because, like, I mean, if Vince didn't want to be there, then, you know, there was the first time that it was the off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like, do you ever look at the people these people end up with? I mean, what happened with this? I'm sorry. You know, it's embarrassing sometimes because you think, you know, people saw me and that person together, and now they're seeing that person with that person, and, ooh, you know, I this is bad. You know, it's a bad roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because when I was with them, I thought they were a decent, upstanding person. I didn't realize really how low their standards have gone.
Oh, but then I feel bad about myself even worse. Like, I'm like, oh.
Because you were with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, oh, no. Is yeah. that really?
That's a reality. People don't understand that. See, a lot of people will take that as either jealousy of the new thing, or they'll take that as you just being an awful person, when really that is just self-reflection. And you're looking back and you're saying, how could I have ever been around that person and thought they were a good person when they're with that thing now? Because clearly...
Well, you see, but like I think you have... Because you're looking at it from the perspective of like, yours. But, like, what if... So, like... What if this guy or girl reached up to get the person who you were in a relationship with and not vice versa?
Well, who used to have the theory it was the reacher and the settler or the something
oh,
like
that? Oh, that was a Carrington thing.
That was a Carrington thing, yeah. Reacher and the settler, I think. One person reaches in the relationship and one person is the settler. Yeah.
What's... The reacher.
So reacher is the person who's looking, who's out of their league.
Carrington used to have this theory to where in a relationship, one person was always the steal and the other person was always settling.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true, though, to a degree. But so you're saying that you were the person who they were reaching for, and now they're just settling.
Well, maybe that the person that they're with now is reaching.
Could be.
So maybe the person who you're hating on because they're with that, I mean, the person who you're with might just be settling now, yeah.
Yeah,
but the person
settling.
That they're with might be reaching, meaning that the person who you were with is, you know, higher along this social ladder that we've now developed. With this
but that's a bad trait in some. I don't want a settler.
Reaching could be hard.
Yeah. Well, reaching is hard. You got to put on a show.
It's a hard life.
You got to put on a show. You got to fork out the money. You got to do all those things that you really don't want to do, and it's kind of difficult. Yeah, reaching is difficult.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
I figure try new things because honestly, I just look at people and I think I just don't know where their mind is. I think they've lost their mind. I think they're not making good decisions anymore. Maybe time is getting away from them. You know, age, I think, does play a part.
They just think they're getting too old to like, I'm confused here.
Well,
I'm getting too old to marry somebody. It's now or never.
Oh, no. They don't have a problem with marrying people. They can do that every time the hat drops. They'll marry somebody. What I'm saying is the problem is after a while, you realize it's a lot of work starting something new or leaving something. And every time you do that, it's a whole process and you got to go through it. Well, after like 3 or 4 times of that, you get to be a certain age and you don't want to go through all that again. So you're willing to accept things that maybe heretofore you would not have accepted. And there you are.
You lowered your standards.
Yep.
Settle.
You lowered your standards. They can lower quick. It's awful, but you know, that's the way it is. The older you get. But you know what? I wish more people would try things outside of their comfort zone. When they think that they... If you don't know somebody on... Like, let's say you've never hung out with them, just you and them alone. You really don't have any sense of them. You think you might have a sense of them, but you really don't. You just have a sense of what they're like in public. You don't know how well that could go. And I think more people should try those situations because I think people find out a lot of times that when they, like, take a day trip with somebody or just go hang out at somebody's house where there is no particular agenda, you find out that you like that person a whole lot more than maybe you thought you would have.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't do that. Everything is... This is why meeting people in bars is bad. This is why meeting people in grocery stores is bad. You don't really know the person.
Right.
Yeah. You need to know the person. Have you ever done that?
Say that again.
No. Have you ever... Somebody who...
Have I ever met somebody at the bar?
No. Right, I'm sure that's happened. No, I'm saying the other way. Have you ever took somebody who you thought, there's really nothing there, there never really would be anything there, because I kind of know them, and just hung out with them, and then, oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah.
Not really on a relationship scale, though. Not on relationship level. More like a friend level.
So how'd that work out? Still friends?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So why would you think you wouldn't be friends with somebody? See, I've never thought I can't be friends with somebody.
Because of?
Anything.
Oh, I was like, I can't be friends with
somebody. Yeah, I would always think there'd be an opening for a friendship. A friendship is, you know, kind of a... depends on the level of the friendship, but I wouldn't block somebody out and just say, I can't be friends with that person.
I definitely can't be friends with needy people.
Needy?
Mm-hmm.
Like
emotionally needy? Or, like, I've got to be, like, you know, on the phone with them, like, every day.
Okay.
Or something like that, you know? So that's a big red flag for me in a friendship. Going through a hard time and being a little needy, but constantly needy, and me having to nurture a friendship, I don't have time for that right now.
Yep. Well.
I have time for, like, let's go out for a coffee and have some fun, have some lighthearted conversation. You know, how's life? Let's, you know, or let's do an experience together, like a... You know, chair dancing class in Columbus.
Chair dancing?
Exciting.
They have a chair dancing class in Columbus. Well, I went to.
That's interesting.
How did
that go?
You know, there's a lot of things you can do on a chair, dancing-wise.
So, are you standing on the chair or just using it as like a... I'm confused here.
I mean, what
that
is...
I still have clothes on, yes. I had gym clothes
on. But is it that kind of thing?
It is.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there you go.
But it was fun. I wish somebody would do a chair dancing class in Marion so I don't have to drive all the way down to Clintonville.
Why would that ever be...
A friend of mine wanted to go. That's interesting.
And you said, I'll do that.
So, you know, if you have two friends, one wants to sit there and be needy and complain and, you know, emotionally needy, and this one wants to go to cheer dance class. I'm going to go to cheer dance class with the one night I have available that week. So.
What? Cheer dance class.
And, you know, there's, there. We started off doing a Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's where you stand behind the chair and you balance your whole body horizontally across the top of the back of the chair.
You balance your whole body?
You throw your legs up in the back. So you're Superman level. Throw your legs up in the back and you swing them forward and you end up sitting on the chair.
Really?
It was amazing.
No, that's,
it's like gymnastics.
It's like a trick. It sounds more like you're doing tricks here than dancing.
Now, where would this come in life, though? I mean, where is this going to be like a thing?
I don't know, but I did it. It was fun.
As long as you enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know, though. That seems very interesting.
I agree. Sounds entertaining.
But so across the room, there was a pole dancing class.
Oh.
And I didn't realize it because they're in the same room. There's a curtain down the center.
It's getting worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse.
All these people in the class next to us had bathing suits on.
Bathing suits?
Yes, they had bathing suits on.
I think I'm too young to hear this conversation.
So, well, me and my friends were driving home, and I'm like, why did all those, you know, why did everybody, we're in like the middle of winter, and everybody's there in bathing suits. Well, I guess you could make a better, you know, better connection to the pole if you skin-to-skin contact. Why are you so embarrassed?
No, I'm not embarrassed. I just can't imagine. Okay. Better connection to the pole. That's exactly what was just said. Let me write that quote down. If you ever get involved in a pole dancing class, make sure you wear less clothes because you'll have a better connection with the pole.
Maybe I could use some of those moves that I learned, you know, to increase butterflies.
Oh.
And my next endeavor goes sour and raw of a relationship.
You just really opened up this morning. What? Now, normally you're a little prudish, and now all of a sudden you're talking about pole dancing.
I didn't take the pole dancing class. There's no way. No, because I would not wear a bathing suit, you know, in
public.
In public.
But isn't that where you wear a bathing suit is in public?
I was in Jamaica. No, not there. Not in the middle of winter.
Because
it's cold.
because it's cold. Mm-hmm. Who has a pole in their house?
You know, as a landlord.
Really?
You would be surprised.
Really?
Mm-hmm. People and they're poles. Really cheap on Amazon.
What am I doing?
I've never been shopping for something like that on Amazon. So okay.
You would have a decent pole for like $99, $200. Not that I want a pole. I don't want a pole. My ceilings have always been too high for poles. However.
Darn those ceilings if they were only lower.
I have seen poles. But I'm like, you know what? They pay their rent.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine, I guess.
What are you
whatever.
Using a pole for at your house?
Practice?
Fair enough. You got me there.
Okay.
Got me there.
Well, there you go. No, you know,
it's better than, I suppose, having to go somewhere, like get a membership somewhere to learn how. And I'd imagine learning how to pole dance with heels on would be something that would take a lot of
heels,
practice.
Too. Well, there you go. Well,
heels is very important.
You know what's funny about this whole thing is years ago, I did read somewhere where this is a thing.
It's
as silly as it sounds, that it's a thing.
And you would be surprised, like, of the women who were in the class. You know, just middle-aged mothers.
That's what I'm saying. Normal, right.
It's a great workout.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If
it was
that,
fun.
You know, that's what they say, but okay. I just don't know.
And it does have a way of bringing back, like, you know, the correct word that to use, you know, trying to be more promiscuous.
Promiscuous.
The pole brings
it. Well, promiscuous, I think, means you're with a lot of people. Promiscuity.
No.
You're probably saying sexuality.
Yes.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if I was allowed to say that on the radio.
Sexuality's fine. Yeah,
okay.
We're okay. Oh, imagine we're getting a call during the pole dance conversation.
Oh, no.
I can't imagine that somebody would want to call during that conversation. Go ahead, caller.
This is Margie Saul, and I'm the event coordinator for the Honor Flight at Home Marion program.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if I could get some information out to that this year. The program will be held June 8th, and it's open to any veteran in the state of Ohio that has not been on Honor Flight Columbus.
Okay, hold on just one second.
Hey, thanks.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know all the information, I think, at that particular point. Pole dancing to that. That's very interesting. Do you have somebody calling for Honor Flight?
No.
No. Well, there was our PSA for the day. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Didn't she just give the information?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, we got it. We got our information. There's how you go to Honor Flight. You know what? I'm just totally confused now. But there is one more thing I want to talk about. So you're saying that's what it's all about, the pole dancing, the chair dancing.
No, it's more of what were we talking about? Friends and, I don't know.
I don't know how we got there.
I don't know. Either.
Things you do with friends that aren't boring.
Right. There we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be a thing, huh?
Oh, number one thing. I think we got
it. Yeah, number one quality in a, yeah.
Matt's conversation.
Yeah. How would you like that?
To go what?
go to chair.
You're talking about
chair dancing, pole dancing, whatever goes on at these places.
No, I think if it's the winter time, that means it's probably hunting season. I'll probably just sit out in the freezing cold and go hunting.
So you would like a friend that likes to hunt, maybe, or not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have friends that like to hunt.
Okay, so this could bring back the butterflies.
I don't know. Maybe.
But you think.
I haven't tried. I told you, I'm not
going to
try.
No, but you would try this. Well, what if you weren't home?
Yeah, I guess in around, like.
I don't know.
I need to find rubber legs for a chair.
Rubber legs for a chair.
A folding chair.
I just, now see, that one I don't understand, though. It's just fun, but you can wear sweatpants and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's like a workout class, sort of.
What do you think these things are all about?
Like a dance class, like a dance routine.
Yeah, but
you have to learn these different moves to music.
But what do you think has brought this whole trend about? Because I've heard about, I mean, it's not like I've not heard about the pole dancing and things like that before, that people are doing this. But why do you think this is a thing all of a sudden?
I don't know, but it's a thing.
It is.
It's interesting.
But there are classes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. I'm not sure what that's supposed to do.
Like I said, maybe bring back.
But is that it? I mean, it's still the person.
I mean, I think it's cool. I learned how to do a Superman on a chair.
I think it's impressive, but
it was neat.
But you weren't doing it. You were just doing it to be friendly with one of your friends.
I could have gone to gymnastics, but they don't do that stuff in gymnastics.
No, but you were doing this with a friend.
Like, do a cartwheel.
Because a friend
that
wanted
makes
to do
me
it, right?
Dizzy.
Right?
What?
You were doing this to be friends.
No, it's a thing a friend did. Girlfriend calls up, says, hey, let's do a cheer dance class. Why not?
So you, but you weren't. It,
she's
it
like,
wasn't.
You can't drink ahead of time, though. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, there you go. No alcohol in those
classes.
No
alcohol. You have to sign all these waivers.
Do you think this would help? Do you think this would help a relationship?
Chair dancing?
Chair dancing.
Probably not. No.
No.
I mean, I guess it's possible, but I wouldn't think it's going to just, you know, fix it on its own.
You know, I just think.
I mean, I guess it'll spice things up for about 3 seconds. I guess I don't know.
3 seconds. Well,
I mean, I guess it depends on how many moves you can learn on a chair.
Apparently, a few. How long did class go on?
Generally, the types of men like that I choose,
what?
The types of men that I choose to be with, would probably want to also learn how to do the Superman on the chair. That they really wouldn't want to watch me do it. I mean, they'd watch me do it, but like generally the types of personalities the types of personalities I choose would want to learn how to do it too.
What type of personality is that?
Well, it's really more of like a, you know, not just sit there and show me your chair dance personality, like.
So I don't think that's
it's generally not that.
Well, let me practice. Okay, so basically this is not somebody who is going to be there for the long haul.
Who?
Somebody who wants to learn how to do their own little chair dance.
Oh no, it would be. Yeah.
Yo, you
I mean,
think
that's a type of personality? Yeah, that I usually.
Yeah, but I don't
pick.
Think those people are going to be there for the long haul.
Well,
this is one of those things where I would
still haven't had one of those relationships yet, Scott.
What's the longest? What's the longest relationship? Now you've been married, right?
Yes, I was married.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so what's
like,
the longest?
Like 8 months.
Yeah. So okay. So what's the longest relationship? There's no shame in that. At least you found out early.
The longest relationship I've ever been in was with my child's father.
And how long was that?
About six and a half years.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, I think so in the grand scheme of things.
I would say half of the relationship was just trying to hold it together for our kid.
Oh, so really only 3 good years.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the 3 bad years.
Yeah.
Well, but now, did you make the decision to have the child with that person?
No.
Oh, okay. So just one of those things.
Well, like, I mean, obviously I did because I have a son, but I mean, was it planned? No.
Right, planned.
No.
Planned. Because that's different. I think when you when you plan to have a child with somebody, I think you think you're going to be with them for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're planning to do that. But if it's unplanned, sometimes you end up with them because you have a kid with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there is a big difference there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's interesting. But what do you think, Matt? Do you think a kid can figure in, make something last a little longer? Because apparently it would have lasted half the time had the kid not been involved.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people, a lot of the times, who have kids want to stay together for the sake of the kid, but I don't think that it usually works out. I don't think that it. I mean, it factors in on the length of the relationship because, like I said, I think that a lot of people do end up staying because of the kid, but I don't think that it usually helps.
I don't think I don't think. We were both in it for like this long haul of a relationship during that time. It's just very difficult having and sharing the younger years of a child. So until they're, you know, 3 or 4 years old, a baby and a toddler, you know, it really is a lot easier to take care of a young one like that, you know, when both parents are in the home. I mean, it's just young children like that. Plus, you don't want to miss those moments when you're a parent, too. Like, oh, well, he's at dad's for a week, and now he's at mom's for a week. I mean, you want to share those moments, and you want to. So if you can try to live together those moments without, you know, in somewhat of peace and harmony, then it really does work out better in those younger years of a child because they require a lot of effort. Sleepless nights, you know, it's just... You know, so I don't think the intent was to ever be in it for a long haul. I think the intent was, well, this is what we're doing for a little while.
But were you fake with people? I mean, if somebody, we're fine. We're doing okay. Even though clearly for half of it, you knew that things were not well.
No. I mean, it's not like they were well. It was all about the child. It really wasn't about each other.
Right. But I mean, didn't people ask?
No, they were always asking about the baby.
Okay.
No, people what really if they didn't care asked, about our well, relationship.
Yeah, but if somebody would have asked, like, what would
no,
you have said?
No, I'm tired. I didn't sleep last night. He has an ear infection.
Okay.
He's getting ear tubes now. He's getting, you know, it's all about the kid at that age.
Well, that's
it's never about, how's your relationship?
No.
Nobody ever asks that when you have a baby.
No, but I think maybe they should, because I think this is where the relationship breaks down.
It does.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, it's interesting when you get into a relationship with somebody who has kids, that's a big part of it. But nobody really, I mean, they'll ask you about that. How are you getting along with, you know, such and such, Bobby? But they never ask you how it's going with the other person, which is what I really think they probably should be asking. I think that's a reflection on how well you're getting along with Bobby.
Or just don't ask.
but that whole other, we talked about, was it last week we talked about this? You got to win the mother or father over if they have kids. And a lot of people know that. That's a whole nother little, what do they call that, love bomb that goes on. You are particularly
other,
nice to the child.
The
child.
Other one.
Yeah.
The child's other parent.
No. Like, you got to be, let's say, okay, you have a kid.
Okay, no, you're a stepdad.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say.
I have a kid. Okay,
is you
okay?
Have a kid.
No, okay. No, I don't. But
well, I'm trying to.
Well,
put
not
it
that
into,
I'm aware of at
I'm
this point.
I'm trying to put it into you dating somebody with.
Yes, kids. I'm dating somebody with kids.
Okay.
Now that has happened.
Okay.
It normally always happens at this particular point
yep,
in life.
Yep,
because we're getting along in life, and they just have kids. It's just the way it is. So they have a kid, and I never did this because I'm above it, but. Some people will work on that kid to impress the mother. They'll buy the kid, you know, expensive gifts, or they'll always make sure to have something for the kid when they show up, or they'll act particularly nice to the kid when they really, you don't do that. That's not natural. It's not your kid. You don't think of that stuff unless it's premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother sees that and they go, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that cute? You know, and
it is. It can be very cute.
It can be, but it's phony.
Mm.
Do you want phony, though?
I don't know. Maybe they really like the kid.
No, they don't. Let me tell you. I've been in those things. I've liked the kids, but never to the degree where I had to buy them. That's the problem. Do you really think you have to do that?
No.
But people do it. But would it be more appealing to you? Let's say a guy walks into your life and with your son, and all of a sudden he's buying him, you know, baseball mitts and bats and hats, and every time he shows up, there's something there, and he's taking him out to lunch and all this.
Oh, I think it'd be cool if he took him out to lunch.
Yeah, but do you think it's reality?
And spent time with him, like.
But do you think he really wants to do that?
Do I want him to just come and, like, drop off a gift and be like, see you? You know, my son isn't motivated by that anyways. He likes time. He's like a watch me child. Like,
oh,
watch
that's
me.
Nice.
Watch me do this. Watch me do that. As long as you're, you know, interacting with him in that way, then you have won him over.
Well, that's good though, but I'm saying do you think that the person who is not the father of that child, who has just essentially met them, really wants to just go have dinner with them, really just wants to go out, and they don't. I mean, they're just trying to put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that, to me, I just can't do that. I cannot be phony with people in that way. I can be nice with the kid. I mean, because I do like kids. I mean, that's my degree. I teach. I like kids. I'll talk to them. It's fine. But I'm not going to go out of my way to be phony and create that phony little atmosphere with them, because then it's wrong. It's like driving somewhere with, like, if you always drive, if you always pay for the gas, if you always buy the dinner, if you always do all those things, you are endearing yourself to that person on a very superficial level.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go to some of these extremes that you're talking about. However, like, I mean, if you are trying to be in a relationship with someone, you do have to, it's like a woman asking you how she looks.
Well, but so you have to put it on. I think that's wrong.
Just
though.
Try to be peaceful.
That's not
with
no.
a child, you know, and everybody's
yes,
happy.
Don't argue with the child. I'm not saying never be mean to the child. Never do that. I'm just saying you don't have to buy them things. You don't have to pretend that you like them when they're just really they're just coming along with the person. Really. because it's not like you met the child and then, oh, their mother's kind of nice. It's not what happens. It's the other way around. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I don't think that you have to... I mean, I think you have to win over the kids to some extent. I mean, I don't think you have to, like, you know, do all the things that you were listing. But, I mean, I think that if...
If you're... What's the cookie place that everybody loves? It's this...
You're talking about Crumble?
Yeah, yeah. That all of a sudden has become a status thing. You know, if you can't get cookies from just anywhere. You got to go to that place to get the cookies.
Cookies are... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they are. Internal but problem. That's what I'm saying. That's where the expensive cookies are, and yes. You have to leave Marion to go to this place, and they've got to be from the box in that. But see, that's a show. If you're doing that for somebody that you barely know, if somebody really believes that you're doing that altruistically and you're just, oh, isn't that a nice guy? Okay. You know, you really should have your IQ checked at that particular point.
I mean, I don't know that, if I was a parent, I don't know that I'd want to be involved with somebody who seems to have little to no interest in my kids and just me.
All right.
So, like, I mean, like, you have to win me over also, seeing as, like, you know, I'm the one you're going to be in a relationship with. Yeah. But, like, if my kids don't like you, I'm not going to...
It's going to be a pretty big deal breaker.
Why would I date somebody my kids don't like?
Yeah, it's a headache. Then it's just not peaceful, you know. Situation. Now, I'm not saying I would dump the person on it, I guess, 100%. However, like, it just isn't, like, perfect anymore.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But...
It's just an extra annoyance and a headache.
What is it about that cookie place, by the way?
They do make good cookies.
They make good cookies, but good lord, it's cookies.
I'm not a huge fan of cookies. I think cookies
it's almost like a cake.
Cookies overall.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember making trips to this place with somebody... who I was around at the time, and I kept thinking, what is the big deal here?
I think they just make big, fancy cookies, and people like the strange flavors they got. I can go in there and get, like, I don't know, like strawberry cheesecake cookie. Yes.
Yeah, but it's to me, it's just a status thing, like Starbucks. People want that cup.
I think you're paying for a whole bunch of money.
Here we go.
Delicious cookies.
Delicious cookies.
Delicious cookies.
Well, but I mean, the whole Starbucks thing is very interesting to me because they have their own language there. They have their own idea of what's going on there. And it's kind of strange. It's a little different.
Yeah. I've always been really impressed by the baristas there.
The baristas, there you go.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it too much until I was kind of standing in line one time. And I'm like, you know, this isn't... You know, a coffee cashier here. I mean, this is a...
But it
very,
is.
No, I mean, they have to know... It's kind of like a chef, but I'm not even sure that it's more like a bartender. Like, trying to remember all these different combinations.
Oh, yeah, they got so... But see, that's...
And they're busy. I mean, they are busy. And, you know, I have a whole new level of respect for that position.
Well, but I think
I'm not sure I could do it either.
Oh, but you know what? You know what? First, honestly, I don't know if I'm sure I've said this before. But you know when I became impressed with you, you did something that impressed me. Because normally, I mean, you can have little passing relationships with people, little passing friendships. But you know what you did one time that I can remember to this day that impressed me about you when I first met you.
What?
You were a waitress. Okay, and I'll never forget, and maybe it was just that particular day, I don't remember, but you went up and took the order of a fairly substantial table, at least four people, I can remember that much, it was at least four people, and you did not write anything down, and you went back and got it all, and it was like breakfast, it wasn't like something simple, and everybody wrote everything down, I don't know how they do it now, but, you know, it was the paper, and you took the pen, and you wrote everything down so you didn't screw anything up, because you had four or five different tables going at the same time, and you didn't write anything down.
I know.
And I think
the highest I ever got up to was about 12-person table.
Think about that.
And that was tough. It was a breakfast restaurant. How do you want your eggs?
It was.
You know, what kind of bread? Do you
coffee?
Want
coffee? What do you want to drink? And you would not write anything
but
down.
But I tell you what, if I forgot... that table.
Yeah, but you were the only person.
So it's go big or go home. You know, if you forget something, you don't get a tip because, you know, you're a little arrogant person, you know, but if you get every one of it right, the reward was so much higher.
But I was shocked because, you know, that place had a lot of employees. It was not a small restaurant and it was actually popular at that time, especially as a breakfast place. I mean, it'd be filled and you knew a lot of the people there and they were about your age at that time.
I worked there a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I worked there through high school and college. And I just remember you do. I don't think I, in the entire time I was there, I ever saw anybody else do that. And it was so impressive to me. I thought, wow, this is somebody you want to get to know, because that has to be some memory skill. I mean, why did you do that? I've never asked you in all these years.
Honestly, I have these things I do, and I've done them throughout my entire life to, change things up, to make things, more exciting from my perspective, whatever I have to do or go through, I always try to, I find myself doing something else.
But how did you remember it? Because I don't think they could. How did you do that?
It's not like I was making up a little rhyme in my head or anything.
No, but I mean, do you picture the person when you go back there to get the food, or do you?
That's probably what it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? So you just matched it.
Yeah.
That is a skill. I mean, you may not think that's a skill, but there's something to that. To remember all that, that's a skill, because you're remembering food, you're remembering how it needs to be cooked, you're remembering sides, you're remembering drinks. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you got up to how many people at one point?
12.
12.
12.
Normal people can't do that.
Yeah.
So you must have one of those things. You must have a little bit of what is that?
I don't know if I can still do that.
You don't think you could do it now?
I'm not sure.
Has time taken its toll on you?
I started doing that after several years of being at that restaurant.
So it took time.
I'm not sure I could walk in and do it now.
Really?
No.
I don't know. So that was more of a practice thing, you're saying?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure that I could look at a table of 12 people and remember what color shirt each person had on.
But you could in those days.
I think maybe. Yeah.
Well, see, then that must be a memory issue.
Yeah, well, my memory and my mind.
Your memory. Well, it's all those classes you go to.
But it is amazing what you could, you do to make money sometimes.
But did they think, I never paid attention, but did the people notice that you weren't writing anything down?
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I made sure they noticed.
There you go. Smart.
Why would I do that?
I could never figure out why you were doing it.
I would just write it down then if I didn't want them to notice.
Yeah, but was it a reason to get bigger tips? They're like, wow, she's...
Some people would be really impressed.
It was impressive.
It also gets them talking during the time they're waiting on their meal, too.
I saw it happen, and I was impressed.
They'd be concerned,
Oh, really?
No, oh, yeah. Are you sure you got that, white toast on there? Or I don't have much time. I got to be in and out of here, if that order is not right.
You know what's odd about that whole situation, now that I look back on it, because I was not a server there. I did something else. But I was out front. And the people who work there, I remember turning to somebody when you did that, because it was impressive to me. And I said to somebody else, I said, did you know they do this? And they didn't. You don't really observe what your coworkers are doing,
no.
Really.
No, you could be in your own bit.
But once you I would point it out to them, they would always watch, because it was entertaining to watch, because you would think you're going to get it wrong.
You can be more efficient, too, though, if you don't have to get out a pen and paper. The more I would work on my memory and stuff like that, but I could be holding a serving tray, coming back with dishes and clearing off tables. I don't need a hand to write with, so I could be a little more efficient that way, too, by not having to dig out of my...
I learned about that particular job, because you did have to bus your own tables, and it was all kinds of things and so on and so forth. Would you say that that was the best shape you were in your life? A lot of people who I've since met after that say, because they were running around, they were on their feet all the time, they were carrying heavy things that maybe they normally would not be carrying, and they were doing it, a lot of hours a week.
Mm-hmm. No, my construction jobs, hands down, put me in
put you in a better shape.
Yeah,
but so now, where would you say shape wise?
Where I am now?
Yeah.
I would say I'm coming back after having a child, even though it's been several years. But before I had a child, I was in pretty excellent condition as far as I would go to Menards. I can do that now too. But just load up. Drywall by myself, no problem. It is about leverage and how you use your inner core.
Right.
However, but, being a female in that industry, there's a lot of heavy tools and equipment that you have to use.
Now, Matt, would you be impressed by this if you went to a restaurant and the server was not writing anything down?
Yeah, probably.
It was.
I don't think I've ever really thought about it, if I'm being honest.
When you see it happen, it's something. It's something to watch in perspective, especially when everybody else is doing it. It's very interesting.
Well, I mean, I have had one waitress who did that, but the situation's a little bit different. I don't know how long they worked there, but me and my friend Casey, we would go to the Denny's in town every night for like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 weeks straight. And ordered the same exact thing. So eventually the third shift waitress just kind of would come over and be like,
Well, I think that's different. I think the regulars, everybody, I think, got to know.
I miss Denny's, by the way.
I know.
Like where else do you go when you get hungry in the middle of the night? I just found out McDonald's is open 24 hours.
There you go.
I did not know that.
Go to your fridge.
No, we don't go to McDonald's.
Like, there's something in my fridge.
I even want to go through the effort
of opening a bag of chips. Like, I don't even think I can do that.
Well, what are you going to do? But you'll drive over to Denny's?
Yeah, McDonald's for some pancakes.
Yes. And a sit down.
But you can't.
I'm speaking sit down.
By yourself?
No, not all. I mean, no.
Well, who are you calling at 3 a.m.? Who's up?
Me and my friend. What did I just say? We were.
No, I'm not talking about you. Like you young people do that. But older folks like yourself, who are you calling at 3 a.m. to go out to Denny's?
All right, good point.
There you go. Somebody who chair dance. Chair dance class person. Well, this has been an interesting show today. It blew right by. 2 hours. Jess, it's good to have you back. Much more, I'm sure it'll be fast. You know, I think we got through two today.
Was there two topics? I almost felt like we got through one.
We might only have done one, because the first hour was really just what was going on at the time. So we might have got through one. But there'll be more next week. So stay tuned for that. And Pastor Craig is up next. Don't go anywhere.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.